Hey, welcome to Kingsway Caringba. We are a community inspired by love to live differently. I'm Dave, one of the pastors here. It's so great to have you with us. We pray this teaching will inspire you, build your faith, and lead you to a life of fullness and freedom in Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Thank you, Ali and Jaron. You are both such a blessing. I love what you are bringing together to this worship space. And it's really interesting. We celebrate with you guys this morning in our prayer time over Zoom before the service. We were just reflecting on this theme that's been running through our services about new wine and God bringing something new forth, that even in the hardship and challenge of this season, that it's really fertile ground that God is bringing forth, birthing, seeding something new. And then here we have it in the natural in front of us, this baby that's coming in November. And I just think I think there's something in that for us this morning, that it's a symbol of the new birth, the new life, the new things that are being sown, the seed that's sown now that's coming alive. So I just, do it again, God. Not necessarily physical babies, but spiritual ones, dreams, visions, new things coming out of this season. That's what we're believing for us collectively, but I'm believing for that in your life as well. So this morning we are jumping into Ephesians 4, and we're looking at the first part of Ephesians 4, and I've based the scriptures this morning out of the Message translation. I don't know about you, but sometimes Paul's language is quite lofty, and I was really wrestling to get my head around the heart of what he was saying, and the Message translation this week really helped me get to the guts of it. So I'll be using that this morning. And it's interesting, in Ephesians 4, this is a point where there's quite a dramatic shift in Paul's approach to this letter. So at the beginning, so far in Ephesians, Paul's been really speaking in narrative. He's been bringing to us again the story of God, the big story of who God is and what he's up to in the world and in our lives. And that narrative has been interspersed with these powerful prayers of Paul that we just love to continue to pray today, for God's Spirit to be overflowing in our life, for God's love to be abundant in our life, for his grace and his kindness. And so we've got narrative and prayer, but all of a sudden when we get to Ephesians 4, Paul switches to exhortation, which is just a big word to explain that Paul at this point starts to urge and plead with the Ephesians church. So he's talked about what God's been doing, and now it's like he says, okay, here's what I want you to do in response. And it's summed up, not in the Message, but in other translations, Paul sums up this idea with the phrase, I want you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. So what does Paul mean, firstly, by this word calling? It's a kind of a word that gets thrown around a lot in church. Well, call comes from the word vocation, and that is to do with a summons or an invitation, not an occupational career, where the word vocation can sometimes be associated with career. But this word calling in the Bible is about an invitation or a summons from God, that he's drawing you into something. And what is it that God's inviting us into? I love, this is one way that I read this week that someone had summed up the call of God: to belong to and live for the flourishing of his purposes in the world. I love that. Let me read it again. To belong to and live for the flourishing of God's purposes in the world. That's what we're invited into with him. Just as God created Adam and Eve to help tend to his world in the beginning, back in Genesis, now God has recreated us in Christ to help mend his world. We're drawn into that partnership with God. Weeks ago, Dave entitled his message, But Now. And then last week, Brett entitled his message, So What. So if you wanted a title for this message, we might take the language that the Message begins chapter 4 with, where Paul says, in light of all of this, the narrative, the big story, the fact that God's presence is here, present with you, filling you, strengthening you, I want you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have. and to join me in this purpose of flourishing for the world. So as chapter 4 goes on, Paul urges and pleads with the Ephesian church to grow up into this calling that we have. That faith would not just be ideas that they cling to, but a reality that is lived in their life. And I believe, as Paul writes, you can see that the church that he is envisaging is one that is moving and active and expanding. It's one that's very much alive. And critical to this growth that Paul sees in the church is this idea of unity. And I'm going to pick up in verse 4 of Ephesians 4. And it says this: "You were all called to travel on the same road and in the same direction. So stay together, both outwardly and inwardly. You have one master, one God, one faith, one baptism, one Father of all, who rules over all, works through all, and is present in all. Everything you are and think and do is permeated with oneness." So Paul brings in this idea of oneness. But as he goes on, he shows us that oneness is not sameness. Look at verse 7, it says this: "But that doesn't mean that you should all look and speak and act the same. Out of the generosity of Christ, each of us is given his own gift." On to talk about the gifts that Jesus has given to his church at the time that he is writing. Now, it's interesting to me that in Romans 12 and in 1 Corinthians 12, where Paul talks about the gifts as well, that he lists the gifts as gifts themselves. He says, you know, some of you have been given the gift of teaching or mercy or wisdom or leadership. But in this Ephesian passage, he personifies the gifts. He says some of you are given the gift of being an apostle or a pastor or a teacher or an evangelist. They are people gifts. And the purpose of these people gifts are to train the people of God in skilled servant work. For Paul, unity is not sameness. A mature and unified church is one that is extremely diverse. One that has the same source, the same heart, the same call, but different expressions. Belonging in the church is found in Jesus, and valuing the self that he has made you to be. Belonging in the church is not found in becoming like everyone else in order to fit in. Do you remember what Paul said? You don't need to look and speak and act the same. You need to bring who you are, who I've created you to be, to my church, to the people of God. You know, I believe that the church, and I've said it before, will reflect the most light like a diamond when it is multi-faced. You know, in Ephesians 1, we sat under the truth that you and I are born a gift. You are born a gift in the eyes of God. And you are also lavished with gifts, a spiritual inheritance from your Father God. But Ephesians 4 tells us that you're also born gifted. But even more than the fact that you are born gifted, you are a gift of Jesus to his church, to the world. You are a gift to us. Verse 11, he says that he handed out gifts. Paul says God handed out gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, and pastor, teacher to train Christ's followers in skilled servant work, working within Christ's body, the church, until we're all moving rhythmically and easily with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son, fully mature adults, fully developed within and without, fully alive like Christ. You know, I believe that God has handed out gifts for his church at Caringbah here too. People gifts to equip us with the skilled servant work. And you are one of those gifts of Jesus to us. It reminds me of an orchestra, for an orchestra to create beautiful, soul-touching music, every part has to learn to play together. For the church to create beautiful, soul-touching music, we all have to learn to play our part together. You know, this week I've been reading a little bit of the work of Parker Palmer. And his work reminded me how our culture and many of us are permeated with a scarcity mindset or a scarcity mentality. And haven't we seen this at play in COVID-19, where we all went to the supermarket and found bare shelves, the toilet paper was missing, amongst other things, because people were stockpiling because they felt they were scared and they felt that things were in short supply. And so our response when we feel that things are in short supply, when we're afraid of our needs being met, is to hoard and to stockpile. But when we embrace this scarcity thinking that we don't have enough, that we aren't enough, we actually create the scarcity we feel. And didn't we see that? Because a lot of us stockpiled, there actually wasn't enough to go around on the shelves, and people were scrambling to find what they needed. The toilet paper became scarce. You know, Palmer says that abundance doesn't happen automatically, but it happens when we choose community. When we come together to celebrate and share our resources, we end up generating more of what seems scarce by trusting its supply and passing it around. Abundance in our lives and in the church doesn't come from stockpiling, but in belonging to a community where we can give what we have to others and receive from others what we need. No one has or is enough on their own. It's not the way that God designed it to be or how he designed us to be. I believe that Paul envisions an abundant church, one that is abounding in love and grace and beauty and gifts, diversity serving unity. And that picture of it in verse 13, and he says, the church will be moving rhythmically and easily with each other, efficient and graceful, in response to Jesus and fully alive in him. What a beautiful picture of the church. Jesus gives grace to the church so that it might grow up to reflect the abundant fullness of who he is. He is both the source and the target of our growth. But unity is generated, it's birthed, it's created by the Holy Spirit. He brings us together around Jesus. He is an abundant God who pours out. So many verses talk about overflow of a table, a feast set before us. So many of the miracles of Jesus, when he took the fish and the bread and turned it and fed everyone, there was leftovers. The kingdom of God is one that has an abundant mindset, that as we bring what we have and share what we have and share who we are, and as we bring that together, then there's more than enough for everyone. And we reflect the fullness of who Jesus is in the world. I hope you're encouraged by that picture of the church. I believe that God is calling us further together into a greater abundance in the season to come together. But as we look at how this lands for us individually in our lives, I've asked Greg to join me this morning. So he's going to step out from behind the technical table over there. I'm very grateful for this morning, because he's got to do two things this morning, thinking about all that and coming to share with us. So thank you so much, Greg.
Not all good.
Give you a minute just to catch your breath.
Yep.
I really wanted Greg to come and share today, because when I thought about someone that I've seen mature and grow up in their gifts over the last couple of years, Greg came came to mind, and it's been such a joy and pleasure for me to see you wrestle with who am I, what have I got to bring, start to own those gifts and start to bring and offer them to others. Yeah. And it's been an incredible blessing to me to work in partnership with you. Awesome. So I just wanted to unpack that journey a little bit with you. So I've got some questions that I'm going to ask Greg just to make it a little bit easier, less for you to think about this morning. Awesome. So the first thing I wanted to ask you is, what's it been like? Can you share, from your perspective, that journey of sort of owning and valuing your gifts and bringing that? What's that been like for you?
Yeah, I think it's one of those funny things. When you sort of asked me to do this, I thought of it sort of like a roast dinner. So normally I would eat every portion separately, so I'd have potatoes first or pumpkin and then get to the meat last.
Because you've got to,
you can't mix it. Can't mix. But having gone to the Hillsong Creative Conference the last few years, many key things that I've gleaned from that was to actually infuse all the different things that I have that I care about and try to use them together. So, with music, I love music. I've been playing music since I was a kid. So how can I take that and fuse it with my love of God? And it's so bringing that together. And it's the same with design. So, having got into design later in my life, it's instead of just thinking, oh, that looks cool, and designing something that serves my heart, it's like, oh, how can I take this to God first and let God speak into me, and then through that design something that sort of can say something to people that's, come through me but through God first.
I love that, because when I have attempted to explain this to my kids, I've always put it in the language of there's things that will come more easily to you than to others. They're kind of like, you're naturally this kind of person. I often talk to my kids, Eliza is a natural lover of people. She's all heart. And my Jesse is a thinker, and so they're built differently, and they bring different gifts to the world and to people. So I know we can get really confused when we start thinking about giftings, but I love what you said about it just infusing the things that I love, the things that come easily and naturally for me, and bringing them to God and offering them to Him and allowing Him to work through those things. That's great.
Awesome.
If we flip that over, I think, part of leaning into our gifts is also recognizing our limitations, or what isn't our natural space, or what doesn't come easily. And from my own experience in watching other people, sometimes we have ideas of we want to do these great and noble things for God, and therefore we have to operate in areas or in a way that's counter who He's created us to be, and we can be tempted and end up wasting a lot of energy trying to be or do something that maybe doesn't fit with who God's created us to be. What's your journey been in terms of realizing or recognizing your limitations or those side of it?
I think one of the things over maybe the last five to ten years, time goes so quick. I think, I love just doing. I love someone giving a directive, or moving house. Having been married to Chris, we've only had to move house a couple of times, but whenever there's an opportunity, we will move people, we will help out. like, I just love getting in there and doing it. But it's, so I've kind of learnt to, I think I've one of the things I've learnt over the years is that I'm not so, I'm not so much the ideas person or the person that can sort of, like, direct and
set
lead
strategy,
and set,
kind of thing.
Like,
yeah.
Set the things in motion, but give me the task and I can, I will get it done and, I'll press in. So that's been one of the things that I think I've learned over the years is just sort of not being part of a team, but I think sort of being, trying to orchestrate things, like, or being a conductor, say, and trying to orchestrate all the moving pieces, that's not my natural zone, you know? It's like, but I can be the bass player.
You can be on the band, and you can play your heart out.
Yeah.
Playing your instrument,
that's
and doing
it.
Your thing,
that's
and
it.
Contributing to the overall sound.
Yep.
I love that. I love that analogy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So realizing your part. So realizing I have something really valuable to bring. This is what it is. This is what it isn't.
Yeah, that's right.
Both of those things are really crucial to being able to be free in our giftings.
Yeah.
I think.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. My last question. Maybe the juiciest one. I read this African proverb, and it says this: if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go further, go together. So I think in this passage that Paul is really encouraging us as a community, and as a people, and as a church to go further. And that picture of abundance.
Yep.
But sometimes working, you know, he said it's going to require us to work together.
Yep.
You know, and what I haven't touched a lot on in this passage, but you can read, is he talks about the things that we'll need to be able to do that. Humility,
mm-hmm.
gentleness,
mm-hmm.
patience, bearing with one another, being alert to difference, quick to mend fences. Because sometimes it can be more frustrating to work as part of the band rather than be the conductor.
Sure.
So I'm interested in, you are, actually when we were praying before the service and a couple of people were praying for Greg, each one of them just mentioned how humble you are, how you serve with such humility and grace and patience, and I can testify to that. Because I'll say, Greg, I need this, no, I've changed my mind, I want something else. What's your insight, learning, wisdom for us in navigating that, working with others and the frustration at times?
Yep. I think it's, again, it's sort of been like years of like the lights sort of suddenly clicking on. So I think one of the things that still frustrates me, I guess, if I'm being honest. It's like we'll go away for a staff retreat. We'll go away for a couple of days, and I'll go there with the intention of, okay, by the end of these 3 days, we'll have a plan going forward, and I will be able to action that plan. And that's not the purpose at all of that situation, right? The idea is to get input from all the people that are like on staff, and that's kind of really, like, it's dawned on me how important that is.
Mm.
Just this week, where we're starting to talk about moving back into the auditorium and having a congregation, how does that work? And it's one thing for, you know, say Dave and I to spearhead that and lead it, and we might have all these great intentions of what would look good and how it would all work, but we had Shaz and Fee in there with us, and they were bringing up things that wouldn't have ever triggered in it, like for myself or maybe Dave. Like, we would have just gone gung-ho and done our own thing, but not sort of had, like, without the input of other people, it just, we wouldn't have, you know, it wouldn't have worked as well. Like, it would have served one purpose but not served the greater community, right?
Yeah. So that recognition that what you bring or what you see or your part is just one perspective.
That's right.
That's needed to form that whole picture.
Yep.
One face of that diamond.
Yeah.
You know, it just reminds me of Jerry Maguire, Greg. Like, you complete me. I complete you. We complete each other.
Right.
We are not complete on our own, any one of us.
Yep.
And we do not grow in our gifts on our own.
Sure.
It's the interplay. It's the partnering and the weaving and the kingdom tapestry. Come on.
Yep. Come on.
I've been happening together.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool. Thank you so much, my friend.
No worries.
I appreciate it.
It's all good.
Can I just pray for you? I'm going to pray for you as you...
Okay.
You can depart.
I will depart.
But I just want to pray that God continues to pour out and fan into flame your gifts, because you are such a
awesome.
Gift to
Thanks,
us.
Awesome. Thanks, Kim. Thank you.
And for all of us. Dear God, I thank you so much for this word this morning, that you have a vision for our church, for our community, that is full of abundance, that it's growing, moving, enlarging. And I want to thank you for Greg and all that he's shared with us this morning. And I pray, God, that you would continue to increase the gifts that you have given to him, and lead him into greater freedom and expression of those in a way that will continue to bless all of us. God, I thank you for your word to us. May it resonate deeply in our hearts this morning and land the way that you have prepared for it to land. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope you've been blessed by this teaching. If you'd like to connect with us, make a financial gift, or find out more about Kingsway Churches, head to kingsway.org.au. Have a good one.